This week, we're talking about a car industry in chaos and why Americans suck at F1, plus a Hyundai straight out of Blade Runner. It's the Hyundai that Blade Runner would have drove, plus big power gains for under a grand. Welcome to the Big Three. If you've never listened to Big Three before, welcome to the show, everybody. This is our current events / car news podcast. We also sometimes do interviews. We do three big stories a week from the automotive world and some smaller ones too. So be sure to subscribe for a brand new episode every week. Welcome to the show. Guys, what is up? My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined, as always, by Joe Weber.
What's up? Every week's Car Week when you're a car guy. I stole that from you guys. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's fine. Good joke. And Max Maddox, what's up?
Tiny Toe Gang, what's up? We're not talking about feet today.
We got your feedback. We got your feet back.
Well, I hope everyone had a good Labor Day weekend, good long weekend, yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully you didn't labor at all, because that's not the point of it.
That's right.
They name it that, thinking that you'd be working, but it's not about that at all.
No. It's about quite the celebrating... opposite.
Not laboring.
Actually, I don't know. Is it union?
Labor rights.
Yeah, labor rights, yeah. Labor reform.
That's cool. It's good.
The 8-hour workday, which was innovation in the 20th century.
Yeah, we're definitely very well-versed in the history of labor struggles here in the U.S. Max, you went down to Mexico, right?
Yeah, Christina and I took her Subaru down there, which, of course, we recently built on the channel when we secretly modified it. And we drove down to Baja, stayed in at this little hostel in Arendaria, which hang on, let me think about how to say this.
Arendaria.
It's not Arendaria, it's Arendira. We stayed in Arendira, which is this little town south of Ensenada, which is exactly where the Baja 1000 and the Nora race will go through.
Oh,
so
nice.
I believe you guys are going to be going through the same area.
Yeah, you did some pre-running in that Subaru.
Pre-ran the whole thing. Nice. Yeah, no, cool. We accidentally started going the wrong way down the Baja course at one point.
Oh,
had to turn around, and we saw the signs. It's like the score has all these signs up all over the entire state going
really?
On. Because they run the whole thing.
You pre-ran some Huevos Rancheros, I saw.
Sure did.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pre-ran down my, never mind.
That's cool. I'm glad you guys did that. Actually, before the weekend, I was like, Christina, Max, please relax this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give yourself some time off. Stay out of the comments or whatever.
Nolan approached us. It was like, you guys, I think it'd be really good if you guys could just unplug.
Yeah.
And not do anything this weekend and take a trip. And we listened. It's a good idea, Nolan.
Hell yeah. Hey, cool.
Okay. Nice. Did your fish survive?
Yeah.
Thank God.
I do have a fish.
Got a new fish.
I have a new fish. I just moved and I got a fish, and his name is Engine 46 because he looks like a little red fire truck.
Cool.
And,
and you're a big Biden fan.
Yeah.
46, right?
46,
oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Great. and I asked Joe to feed the fish, but Joe was busy having his own baby.
You texted me on the way down to Baja, and you were like, hey, I know this is last minute. Can you feed my fish? And I was like, feeding my baby and looking forward to a night of zero sleep. And I was like, no, man. Sorry.
Yeah, he survived, though. He's good.
Okay. How old's your baby now?
10 weeks today.
10 weeks.
So he's still an infant. I got 2 hours sleep last night.
Dang, I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. Let's just get through this.
Okay, let's do it. Let's get through it. Okay, our first...
What about you, Nolan? You also did some fun stuff this week. Look at you, by the way.
I know.
Nolan is the fanciest he's ever been on this podcast.
Yeah. Look, I've been trying to just dress a little better. Lately, especially for the big three. For the rest of the week, like, we have Hilo going on, so I'm gonna be very slobbed up. I'm gonna be slobbed up in my dirty, greasy clothes that have been destroyed by previous seasons of Hilo. So on Mondays, when I know I don't do any wrenching or anything like that, I try to wear my good stuff.
That's nice. You got a polo shirt on?
I do.
There's loafers. Old Navy. And looks like you've got some, what are those, chinos?
These are, I think so.
You gotta put a penny in your shoe.
Yeah. I actually saw someone in the comments last week critiquing my fit. They were saying I should have been wearing these brown loafers with the blue pants rather than my black loafers. So, I don't know. Sound off in the comments.
Mm. Black and blue historically have never gone together.
Really? My weekend consisted of, Saturday. We did some wedding planning stuff on Saturday. Got that locked in. The wedding's pretty much ready to go.
Dang.
All that needs to happen now is handing people some cash or checks, basically, the vendors. But all the timelines are set. Joe, we still need to come over and write the ceremony, I think, a little bit or something.
Yeah. Are you officiating it?
Joe is officiating the wedding, yeah.
Whoa. I have my certification from universallifechurch.com.
Nice. Same, dude.
And
go Cougars.
I practiced on my sister and her fiance, so I already did a wedding.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long did that take to get certified?
Like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Really?
If that.
Did you know you can get forklift certified online, like, really quickly?
Oh, we should do that.
I think that's just, really, that means, I mean, you just got to get reps, really.
For driving forklifts?
On, yeah. on job experience is way more important.
yeah, so that got done. Sunday, we went to the Peterson. They had a JDM car meet on Sunday morning. We took the Lowrider Miata over there.
Yes, dude.
It was super fun. I had never ridden in that car until then, and Jimmy, he and I, we drove it over. People love that car. It's like one of my favorite cars we have.
Did you flip any wigs?
No. Flip some switches, though.
Nice. Yeah, you hop that thing?
It doesn't hop yet, though, necessarily.
Right. We need to upgrade.
It needs
the
more
hydros.
Pumps and more juice.
I didn't realize there was such a touch to it after that video. I was like, oh, you really like can't push it too hard.
There's a video of me. I drove, like, I left the meet. We left, and I got to drive. He let me drive the Miata back. And there's, like, videos of people on their stories, like, of me hitting the switches. But it looks like when you're in the car, it feels really cool. But from the outside, it's like,
framp.
Like, there's definitely practice and finesse. The problem is with that car is that what is that called? Overboost? No.
What are you talking? Oh, you're talking about
overlock.
The overlock.
There's no limit straps or anything like that on the suspension arms. So, like, and the car is too light to overcome the pressure in the hydraulic system. So if you go, you can overlock it. Like, if you go all the way up on the stroke of the hydraulic, and because the car is so light, it won't like push the shock back down when you let off. So we need to put some sort of like limit straps or chains or something so we can like with confidence go all the way up and down and not have to like second guess where we are in the stroke.
Right. Because if you go too high, it gets stuck.
It's definitely in its like prototype phase right now.
Totally.
It seems like straps would be the easiest thing to install.
Straps or chains or something. Yeah. So we got some ideas. We saw some cool stuff over at the JDM show that we'll try to incorporate. When we work on the car or make another video with the car, we want to do some interior stuff with it. Yeah. I want it to have like a really banging sound system.
That'd be sick.
Just to kind of cover up some of the clanks you hear when we're rolling into the show.
We also have one of those Lowrider plaques
That's
been in the works for a while.
It has, yeah. So we got to highlight that. But man, it's just
takes
so
forever to make those, by the way. It's been like 3 months or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about the process on why that takes so long, but what really opened my eyes was like, you know, we drive some of the other donut cars around, like the Hondas or the Subarus. And like, you know, if you know and you see the car, you're like, oh, yeah, cool. Like, there's the donut Subaru or whatever. But like, there was, you know, the Miata is so unique compared to everything else that was at the JDM meet.
Yeah.
That like, it really does turn heads. And when we're on the street too, like, it's really cool because like any stop sign or stoplight you stop at, someone pulls up next to you, they're going to have questions about it.
Yeah.
It just, people really love that car, and it makes me want to do more like stylish builds over like something like the Civic or, I don't know, the Ranger's sick, but
it's definitely outside of our,
it's just different.
Normal
it's different
car,
from what
definitely.
We do. Yeah. Build. I want to build another car that's like very like eye-catching and just fun to look at rather than like
totally
impressive in its capabilities.
Yeah, because you'll see, you can see a, you know, modded Subaru WRX anywhere, but you're never going to see a Lowrider Miata, which is awesome. I love that car.
Did you see any Ford Raptors at the car meet, the JDM car meet?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
I didn't. Is that a segue into a story? Do you want to do this one, Joe?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, Nolan. Last week, Ford dropped a new tune for Raptor variants of the Ford Bronco and Ranger.
Mm.
It's basically just a chip tune. The new tunes give owners some huge torque gains. The new Raptor Ranger gets a 50 horsepower bump and 106 pound foot torque.
Jeez.
Which is crazy. That's nuts. That basically takes you from 405 to 455 horsepower.
Nice.
And then 430 torque to 536 foot-pound.
Damn.
The Bronco also gets a chip tune, and it goes from 418 to 455 horsepower, and from 440 torque to 536, which is a shit ton of torque.
Cool.
That's
a
good lot
of stump-ripping torque.
Yeah. So Ford is selling this chip tune from the factory. I've never heard that before from a manufacturer.
And it actually, I think the weirdest part is that it comes with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty.
Huh.
But it only cost $825, which is a steal for that amount of power. Once you start, you know, like messing with your ECU, I feel like reliability goes, you know, like you don't even know how it's going to react. Mm-hmm. So reliability maybe will go down. The fact that they're offering a warranty for this is really awesome.
Very cool.
You don't have to add anything else. It's literally just updating your ECU through the OBD2 port. And it's usually just a DIY job. So this is cool that it's like a dealer option.
Yeah, dealer option and supported by the factory. They're standing behind it. I think that's really cool.
I love that. Awesome. I had a tune when I had my my Fiat Abarth, it was like the best mod I did because it's the cheapest thing really because it's a couple $100 and you just like plug it in and it's just 50 horsepower like that. And I put pops and bangs on my Fiat.
You did.
Nice. I'm a degenerate.
Yeah. Every day. Oh, I wonder if Max is here.
Gunshots. down in this little Fiat. Dude, I was behind this Mercedes on the freeway coming back from Mexico yesterday, and it had the loudest pops and bangs tune. And every time we went under a tunnel, the dude was just like, pop, 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 pop. And I looked over, and his wife was in the car next to him. Just he was so embarrassed the whole time. It's the most embarrassing thing you can do to a car.
It's a bit excessive, especially like, every time you let off the gas, you got to hear that.
Every
it's like,
time.
That maybe be cool for 10 minutes and then I'm taking that shit off, you know?
Yeah, there's so many BMWs on the 101 just like moving 10 feet and then pop, 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 pop.
And it can't be good for the car, right? No. I know they say it's like not that big of a deal, but it can't be
I
good.
Think any extra pressure in the exhaust manifold, I mean, the least of it is like you might have to change out your cat sooner. Or your muffler, right?
I was thinking about that. Like, that's a lot of particulates going on that cat.
Yeah, it's got to get sooty.
It's got to get sooty, dude.
Yeah, that cat's going to be fuller than Garfield.
All right, our next, this is a little story, right? Yeah. Oh, no, it's a big story. All right, some F1 news for you guys. Congrats to Charles Leclerc over there. For his win at Monza, but maybe even a bigger story this weekend was Logan Sargeant is out at Williams, which people have been kind of expecting for a while.
Yeah, not a huge surprise.
I mean, look, I liked him, you know?
You did?
Yeah.
What did you like about him?
He's American.
Oh, boy.
Representing. Look, America needs a win. You know what I mean?
I've been saying that for years, dude.
We're so underrepresented, I think, in the world's pop culture, America, you know? And it was just nice having a guy from a little country like America representing representing us in the sport.
All we have is Jazz and Logan Sargeant.
How did we do in the Olympics, by the way?
Oh, we crushed it.
Yeah, we got the most.
We won?
We tied for gold medals with China, but we got many more silver and bronze medals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we crushed it.
Yeah.
It was sick.
But overall, I think he didn't even really
look
do
he
that
was,
great over
wasn't,
his,
didn't have very many.
Did he score 1 point?
I think so.
He scored 1 point in his career.
No, he's got to have more than that. Audrey, can we get a fact check on that, please? Okay. So while Audrey looks for Logan's career points count, Williams signed Carlos Sainz a couple weeks ago.
God,
huge news.
I'm bummed about this too. Carlos,
we talked about this, I think.
Keep your spirits up while you're there. You'll eventually move on to a better team.
I mean, he's on Ferrari. He's on a better team right now.
I know, but this is like this is like someone getting traded to the Jets from the Rams. I don't even know who's good right now.
I don't know either.
Every Packers quarterback going to the Jets after playing with the Packers. Just hang in there for a little bit. You're gonna find the next team. I know you got the talent. Williams is a really disappointing team, at least for the last 15 years. They've been bad.
There's like, I guess that's the more realistic view is that Carlos is kind of like hanging around, like staying, not getting rusty. You know, he could have taken like a year off maybe.
Yeah.
And I think would have easily been signed again by another team.
Sure. He's young.
He's so good. He's such a consistent driver, but maybe, you know, keeping himself sharp, or Williams has something under their sleeve for next season. We'll see. Or for the 2026 rule change.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, it's probably more the first one.
But going back to Logan Sargent.
Logan.
Do we have a, sorry.
So Logan's only points came from the USGP where he finished 12th, but then two people were disqualified, so he made it into the points because of disqualifications. Okay, yeah. But this kind of brings up a greater point of Americans in F1 being horrible.
Okay.
There's just not a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's just kind of a weird thing because Americans are super competitive in every aspect. It's not a question of money because Americans do have money as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's not as important to Americans. You know, like it's like soccer to them.
Well, I think, I mean, especially for guys like Logan Sargent, Americans, you know, they start their career super young, and then if they want to be in F1, if their, you know, parents are like, this kid's got to be in F1, that means pretty much immediately moving to Europe at a young age,
right.
having either dual citizenship in Britain or some other country,
yeah.
Kind of losing touch with the American roots anyway, you know, racing through the different formula ladders over there. That's really the only path for an American right now, unless someone like, you know, you have like a Kyle Larson or, I mean, Tony Stewart, he tested an F1 car one time. Scott Speed, another American F1 driver.
I just think there's so many other trajectories for motorsports in America, yeah. That might be preferable. Like you could go to NASCAR. Mm-hmm. You could be a monster truck driver.
Yeah.
You could do,
I mean, IndyCar
drag
as well.
Racing, yeah, IndyCar. There's just so many other things to do that are accessible probably, which is sucking away all the talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
NASCAR pays very well too. I mean, you
that's
can.
True.
Yeah, I mean, you see like Tony Stewart's house that he was selling recently. It's like insane mansion, you know.
Yeah, 25 bathrooms.
Yep.
That's 4 bedrooms. That guy shits a lot.
The last successful American in F1 was Mario Andretti, who won the World Drivers' Championship all the way back in 1978.
And that guy's like 84 right now.
That was a while
ago. We saw him at the IndyCar race.
Yeah, we did. He looks great for that age.
Over the years, drivers have moved from being more jacks of many trades to being more siloed into a single racing discipline. Before the siloing, American drivers actually were pretty competitive in Formula One. F1 teams started feeder programs that focused on European single-seater series in the 1980s, but with the FIA super license structure also severely limiting how a driver could qualify for F1 because most Americans' series don't qualify. Which is kind of stupid.
Mm. Yeah, that is stupid.
It's stupid, dude.
Stupid. Quite stupid.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if NASCAR qualifies for super licensing, which is kind of crazy because, you know, those guys are going 200 miles an hour in like really packed or, you know, tight packs around a track that takes so much skill. Those cars are not as planted by any means as an F1 car.
Just going back to monster trucks really quick.
Okay.
Would you rather be, money aside, like you get, like you're paid the exact same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be an F1 driver or a professional top level monster truck driver?
F1 for me.
F1.
Yeah. Not me, dude.
Not you.
I'd be a monster truck driver in the 90s mm-hmm. because they can't crush cars anymore. As we know, there's too much plastic in cars now.
Yeah.
So that's why at Monster Jam, they don't crush cars anymore.
But think about the places, the venues that you're going. You're going to Monaco. You're going to Japan. Monster trucks go to like Anaheim and Cleveland.
That's cool, dude. Here's the thing. You want to talk about planted.
Yeah.
70 feet up in the air in a truck, coming down, doing a nose wheelie, turning that into a triple front flip or something.
That's pretty sweet.
Unreal.
I haven't been to a monster truck event since I was like 10 years old when they come to the Mid-State Fair, California Mid-State Fair, like every year. I don't know if it's Monster Jam trucks necessarily, but, you know, I remember seeing, what's the dog one? No, not a dog.
There is a dog one. It's got the
Dumb
ears.
And Dumber.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
El Toro, though.
The
one
the bull is.
Yeah.
There's a shark, too.
Yes.
That's a cool one.
The shark is cool.
Gravedigger,
obviously, Gravedigger.
Hercules, or whatever that one is, with the arms.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
Shooting a little smoke out of his nose or whatever. And, dude, we're talking like 2,000 horsepower nitro methane engines.
Yeah.
And they just thrash on those things.
pretty sick.
Rash.
Crazy.
Rash on
I him. Think I'd still take F1 driver, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd do it for free. Shit. Williams, hit me up. We'll save some money, dude.
Actually, you just have to, like,
just pay buy for your travel. Own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll take on coach, Ryanair. Though. Yeah. I would. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that. All right,
let us know in the comments if you'd rather be a monster truck driver or an F1 driver.
Please.
Great hypothetical that is related to cars.
Yeah. Could you drive an F1 car with 100 toes? Probably not.
Hey, ChatGPT, make me a monster truck with 100 toes, please.
You know what? I think F1 drivers would probably be better suited to have 100 toes, and I think that monster truck drivers would have one toe.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're monsters.
Hey, look, if someone has 100 toes, that doesn't mean they're a monster, Joe.
No, I was saying one big toe. Oh. Those people are monsters.
Okay. I think a monster truck driver would cut his big toenail with an angle grinder, you know?
Oh, God.
Or as they call it, an ankle grinder.
And here we are talking about toes again.
I actually had a nightmare last night for like the first time in a long time. It was about a spider. A big fucking spider in my house. And it ended with like, the spider was like this fucking big, like 2 feet across. It had like 7 eyes, right? And I remember being like, Chloe, we got a big ass spider in this house. How are we going to take care of it? And she's like, I don't know, man. And I like go into the kitchen. It's in, it's a huge ass web. It's going crazy. Make 2 foot spider making this big ass web. And then it turns its head, 7 eyes looking at me,
shit.
Jumps at my face. And that's when I wake up.
Whoa.
Was it a black widow?
No, it was like this fake spider that my brain made up. It was it was like blue and red.
Yeah. Oh, Spider-Man.
Oh.
It was Spider-Man.
Oh, it's just Marvel. Advertising in my dreams. Yo.
Neuralink.
Yo.
This is Black Mirror, dude. That's f***ed up.
Hey, I came up with a good donut bumper sticker. Can I share it real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
It's going to just say, do you follow donut this closely?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
That's funny.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
But it'll be really tiny font, so you have to get really close to it.
Yeah, we might get a dozen subscribers from that.
All right, let's move on. I'm done with Logan Sargeant. He'll be back. I think he should... I bet some IndyCar team would probably enjoy employing his services.
Yeah, does Williams doesn't have...
No, they don't. McLaren does, but Williams does not. I'm sure he'll be back in some open wheel thing.
Yeah.
Or Le Mans or IMSA.
Yeah.
He's an F1 driver. He might have not done very well, but still makes him, he's still very skilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could get 20th in an F1 race.
Just
put it out there.
Yeah.
You could. Think you'd finish?
Yeah.
You'd finish the race.
2 laps behind everyone, but yeah. Maybe 3 laps behind.
Maybe. On the real though, you know, Logan, he does seem like a good guy.
Yeah.
And I do wish him well and hopefully find some employment at another racing series soon.
He will live on in the what the fuck is a kilometer meme.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big contribution to the overall
for sure
canon.
Hey, maybe Monster Jam needs some new drivers.
Maybe. All right. So Hyundai released pictures of their concept car a few years ago called the N-Vision 74, and it had you people going crazy saying stuff like, wow, Hyundai is kind of killing it. And if you were one of those people, good news, because they're actually gonna make it.
Whoa.
That's right.
So this is like the Giorgetto inspired retro looking
wedgie guy
supercar last year.
It's like Countach-y.
I would say it's more like...
that's not a Countach.
No, it's like a sci-fi AE86, basically. Yeah.
Yes, as we've said, Blade Runner would drive this. Yeah, it's got turbo fans.
Blade Runner would drive this.
It's got turbo fans. It's got a big old scoop on the back and louvers.
It's hydrogen-powered.
So it's hydrogen fuel cell-powered, I believe, which is similar to the Mirai.
Yeah.
So it ends up
it's probably heavy, right?
Mm.
Aren't those tanks really heavy?
I don't know.
I thought the Mirai was like 4,000 pounds.
No, because hydrogen's light. I think it's like the batteries and whatnot would be
and the fuel cell itself.
Down.
Those things are pretty beefy. Sure. But yeah, this thing's really
heavier
cool
than
looking.
A combustion car, either way. But so they're going to make it.
Yes, they are.
Hmm.
They are. So the a South Korean newspaper reported back in June that the car would retain the hydrogen fuel cell that the concept car showcased. Power is reported between 670 and 775 horsepower.
Damn.
That's so a bit more.
This is like a pro-spec drift car.
Pretty much, yeah. So, unfortunately, there is a catch here, and that is that this car will be very exclusive with as few as 200 examples being built.
The catch is you just got to be rich to own it.
That's the catch.
So we're going to see Dana White. We're going to see Alex Choi driving these
Dana
around.
Dana White?
He's the car guy. He crashed his like 65 Mustang into his house.
You think Dana White would drive a hydrogen fuel cell concept car?
I don't know. If he invests in hydrogen beforehand, then he definitely will.
I mean, that would be quite a change of character for someone like him, I think.
Those are the, okay, Gatton Moderato and Skeet Ulrich. You're going to see those guys driving these around.
Why? the kid from Stranger Things.
That's interesting. I mean, we talk about hydrogen, you know, fairly frequently, or we have in the past, at least with the Mirai, and it's interesting. I think it's a very viable means to power vehicles, but it's just an infrastructure issue, really. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of places where you'd be able to drive a car like this.
There's three places in LA to fill up, and I feel like LA would have more than most.
There's
cities.
A lot. There, I mean, not a lot more, but there's more than three. But the infrastructure thing, like one hour, you'll have like full hydrogen at one of the stations, and then you'll check it again on the app, and it'll have like zero left. So you have to like totally alter your plans and drive somewhere else. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. But when we drove the Mirai, I really, really enjoyed it. Now, obviously, it's not the same technology. I mean, it's the same technology, it's a different company making it. But I don't know. I think people will be surprised when they get behind the wheel of this thing. You know, people who aren't normally like alternative fuel kind of people. I mean,
you're talking about Blade Runners.
I'm talking about Blade Runners out there.
The real Blade Runner.
Yeah.
It was not the one from the movie.
No,
the real
one.
Blade Runner.
The real one. I mean, the Mirai felt just like a normal, it felt like an EV because essentially that's what is ultimately driving the wheels is electric charge, right?
Yeah, just the electrons. Way you power it is you fill it up with hydrogen and you just fill it up like a gas tank.
And what I loved about it is like after learning about what a hydrogen fuel cell does and how it works, like I think that is what the sound that the car was making was the fuel cell working. And it's like a cool, like futuristic kind of sound. It sounds like a banshee or a ghost from Halo, which made me very excited.
And it pees too.
And it does. There's a pee button on the dash where you press it and it like it pees.
Is pop up like Dawn?
No, it like, you know, water is a byproduct of this. And normally it just like as you're driving the car will just expel the water waste basically. But there's certain, I couldn't get it to do it consistently for some reason. Yeah. But like at certain times, if you press the H2O button on the dash, it'll drop water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to wait until you're on a bridge in Chicago.
Yeah.
Driving over a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, dude, 670 horsepower at minimum, that's pretty sick.
So you drove a Hyundai recently.
No, I didn't.
You didn't drive that one?
I didn't.
Okay.
The Ioniq, no.
Got it. But the Ioniq 5, another Hyundai EV, that's similar power, right? That's in like the 600 range, I believe.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Not too far off.
And it's got a drift mode. I bet this has a drift mode because in the video they released, it's doing donuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd be very surprised if it didn't have a drift mode. So this is a rare instance of a car company taking a big swing, not only with the design itself, but with the use of alternative fuels. But for the most part, car companies are getting some cold feet when it comes to anything but gas engines and hybrids. Just in the past few months, several companies such as Volkswagen, Cadillac, and Mercedes have either walked back on their commitments to an all-EV future or at the very least prolonged their commitment to combustion engines.
So I think this is kind of like the honeymoon era is over for EVs a little bit, and people are realizing that it's not viable with our battery technology right now to go full EV. And also it's just kind of like we did a video, a Wheelhouse, a long time ago about how long you would need to drive an EV before it actually became more you know, better for the environment than a gas car, and it's like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So like the lead time is, you know, it's not as like great for the environment than that people are.
And moreover,
I mean, no, expensive. It. I mean, it is.
They are expensive. Yeah,
they're expensive, man.
It is better for the environment. There's a lot of videos I think out there, either knowingly or unknowingly, pushing a narrative that batteries and EVs are worse for the environment than gas cars. Like you said, after 5 or 6 years, before 5 or 6 years, that is true, but then it becomes untrue. And I think there is a concerted effort to put that kind of messaging out there by certain people who do not want EVs.
Yeah, to I don't want to come off as like anti-EV because I think it is great technology. I just, after doing this video and doing 25 hours of research on it, it made me kind of like rethink it, because also there's the mining toll, like the cobalt, I think,
lithium mines.
The lithium in like Bolivia, the cobalt in Congo, like there's just like shitty things going on behind the scenes.
I mean, there's shitty things behind oil as well.
Sure.
I mean,
oh, absolutely.
And other, you know, fracking is very bad.
That's why I spray painted Stonehenge the other day.
there's no free lunch, I think, when it comes to energy and powering the transit system that we currently have, being everybody having their own car and everything. Yeah. Because like the real cheat code to sidestepping those kind of those drawbacks and the, you know, the terrible things you see with especially like unregulated lithium mines, or, you know, huge oil spills or other environmental catastrophes that come with powering our current system, the real cheat code is just better mass transit. And honestly, in the long run, I think that's just the way it has to. We have to advance that. It's kind of embarrassing coming back to LA from a city that has really good mass transit, like New York or Chicago or something, where it's like you don't even need to. It's a huge city, but you do not need a car to live there.
So I think Tesla kind of kicked off this like urgency in the 2010s to like move to EV. All the car manufacturers kind of followed suit and were bolstering, like spending tons of money on developing EVs. Now they're kind of pulling back on it. These are not minor pivots. These are enormous sums of money being moved into R&D, you know, from EV to back to hybrid technology kind of stuff. There's also doubts around hydrogen, but some companies like Hyundai haven't given up, as we talked about the concept.
Yeah, I mean, we already talked about this with the Hyundai, but like the infrastructure is definitely a thing with hydrogen, like we mentioned, but also it is expensive to make hydrogen.
Yeah.
There's like different grades of hydrogen that you can get, where it's like there's like a less environmentally friendly one, and then like the super environmentally
like the
friendly
Walter White stuff.
Yeah, like green hydrogen, I think they call it, or something, or it's either green or blue, which is the top one. It's super, super expensive to make that.
That's like what Porsche was doing down in Chile. When Zach and I went last year, they were making their own e-fuel, and part of the sustainability was that they were able to use the grid that relies on like wind and water and whatnot to generate the hydrogen and to get everything else. And because it's, you know, sustainable down there, because they have, you know, they have a green grid, they could make it work. But yeah, the way they would do it now would involve a lot of you know, probably burning fossil fuels in order to generate the hydrogen.
Yeah, and I wonder how much is that of that would be contingent on sticking with the current energy grid we have now, instead of maybe like employing more of that green energy grid, like Argentina, right? Or Chile. Chile. Like Chile's in this country, which I think is totally viable. It's just like, again, there's lobbying interests that keep that sort of thing from happening.
Well, windmills cause cancer. You can't get around that.
I think the thing with EVs is that the proof of concept was that rich people could afford EVs.
Yeah.
That's what Tesla was. It was aimed originally at the rich people.
And then they were going to trickle down.
And then it kind of has, but they're just so expensive right now, too. And
I mean, that's how like most consumer technology is, though. Is like,
yeah, for sure.
You know, flat screen TVs were like $2,500 back in 2005. And I mean, yeah, plasma, all that kind of stuff was super, super expensive. And then you had a company like Vizio make some, or TCL, make really, really affordable ones as soon as that technology got affordable enough to do.
I just bought a 65-inch TV for like $300. Yeah. Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I think what car companies were hoping for was that EVs would get cheap enough for everybody to want to buy them, and that's just not the case.
But I think this is like a little soon to be fully point out of EVs. I think with the advent of like solid state batteries, like the Samsung battery that just came out, mm-hmm. charges super fast, holds a lot of charge, could be like a good alternative to lithium batteries. I feel like it's a little soon, and you know, in 5 more years, it could be way more efficient than it is now.
It is definitely like we're taking this from a view of it, like an industry standpoint, but I also think the reality of government also plays into this as well. Yeah. Because I mean, EVs are super successful in states like California, where the state government has incentivized people to buy EVs. You get crazy tax rebates.
There's like, chargers everywhere.
For a while, like you could apply to have a charger installed at your house pretty much for free with the tax credit. Mm-hmm. It made it really easy to get an EV. Not everybody drives an EV, obviously. I mean, they're still expensive, but like, I think within the last 10 years, most of the people that would have bought an EV and were in the position to probably did do it. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, for the rest of the country, I think in other states, you know, it's probably not like that in Idaho, you know? I don't know for sure. Maybe Idaho has a forward-thinking position on EVs. I'm not sure. But
The Boise Tesla Club have a word.
Well, but, you know, like, there's a lot of other states. There's a lot of other states that haven't made that investment, mm-hmm. you know? And I think the market reflects that, you know? I think that needs to be taken into account for sure. Also, you know, when you see articles about the EV market dying off or whatever, I think a lot of that also has to be... you have to take that with a grain of salt a bit, because the market did take a hit, but it's mostly because Tesla took a huge hit because Elon went crazy on Twitter and alienated a ton of customers who went to other companies and have now started buying EVs from other manufacturers. They're doing well.
Yeah.
It's a very, very multifaceted issue, and extremely complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no one...
No. And in the case of Toyota, like, I definitely see where they're coming from. They have like a whole philosophy about how the battery material needed for one EV could supplement like 6 hybrids or something like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, I love driving hybrids too. You know, when you hop in a new one, I'm just a nerd, dude. I love the gamifying of efficiency that all these companies do, like with their dashes and stuff, where it tells you like, oh, you're getting their max efficiency right now.
You're getting
60 miles per gallon. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, how you can charge going downhill and you're like, oh, I'm going to get an extra 2 miles out of this.
Was when we had that Volvo wagon like last year.
Oh, yeah.
You could put it like into, use the electronic motor braking to get your power back when you're going downhill. It was super sick. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Yeah. As like I realized when I was a kid, I really loved gadgets. Like when we were growing up in the mid 2000s, smartphones hadn't really become a thing yet. So you had all these different gadgets that had different functions.
You're like a Sharper Image kid?
Not Sharper Image, but like, you know, watching Attack of the Show or like all the other G4 stuff, like being like, man, technology is so cool. And now I kind of realize like cars are kind of that new gadget a little bit, where the features like hybrid systems, fuel cell, stuff like that. I'm really into that. And it's fun. And it makes me wish that hybrid stuff was taken more seriously on the truck side of the market.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because imagine like, you know.
All that mass going downhill, you could charge so much.
Imagine like. Yeah. Trucks are not subject to the same CAFE regulations that cars are, like, because of lobbying.
There hasn't been, like, such a crazy push for trucks because of that.
Imagine if you could buy, like, you know, I got my truck a couple months ago, 2019. Like, you know, it has pretty low miles, but I bought it for towing. Imagine if, like, they had started making...
Back to tows again. Oh, my God, this guy.
Imagine if Dodge had been working on a hybrid system starting in the mid-2000s, and by now you have like a big fat battery under your bed and a hybrid system, and you have like your V8, you have your hybrid system's making the same like 400 horsepower, but with that big f***ing battery, you have like, a 700 foot-pound towing rig. Like, that would have been amazing. And getting 30 miles per gallon around town.
Oh, yeah.
I would have loved something like that. And I think there was such like a cultural kind of thing in the mid-2000s with Priuses coming out. And like, you know, you had your South Park episode, Smug, all that kind of stuff. Like, it was definitely like a moment to be like against hybridization. But if we had just kind of accepted it more and seeing the reality that in a decade we'd have more horsepower and more torque and better gas mileage if we had just started, took it a little bit more seriously back then, I think our roads would look a lot, not different, but we'd be spending less money at the gas pump, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They'd smell different. Faster
cars. They'd smell different. Yeah.
Well said, Nolan.
Thank you.
That was a good thought.
Thank you. I've got one a week.
That about does it for this week. We're out of time, but before we wanted to go, we wanted to say rest in peace, Alex Zidius, who passed away last week at 102 years old. Alex rose to fame in the hot rod scene by building the first 200-mile-per-hour hot rod to run at Bonneville, Nolan.
Hey.
Yeah. Huh. He founded SoCal Speed Shop, a legendary shop that turned out a ton of record-breaking streamliners.
Great shirt, too. I've seen that on a bunch of shirts.
SoCal
Shop.
Wow. Yeah. So rest in peace, Alex. Love everything that you contributed to the community.
Very cool.
And your legend lives on.
Wow.
200.
Keep it 200.
Keep it 200. And with that, it's time to end. Make sure you follow the boys on social media at Max Maddox, at Joe G. Weber, and me, Nolan J. Sykes, if you'd like. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, make sure you hit that follow or subscribe button on the platform of your choice. And if you think a friend would like this show, let them know. Word of mouth is still how we grow. That all rhymed.
And now we got to go.
Now we got to go. And hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Let us know how we're doing down in the comments. How about that?
And you can find this show on Instagram at Donut Podcast.
That's right. Big thanks to the crew this week. It's Edgar Grajeda and Audrey Holden. Small crew this week.
Small crew.
Big three.
All right,
see you next week.